This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Najel. Today we're talking about learning a new language at any age. With us are Alejandro Cotonat. He is one of our guests and the co-founder and president of Vamos Academy International. Vamos has an office in Milwaukee where they offer Spanish lessons. They also arrange immersive learning trips to Spanish-speaking countries. Also with us is Pamela Terrell. She's a professor in the Department of Communication Sciences and Disorders at UW Stevens Point. She's also a certified speech language pathologist. What questions do you have about speech and language disorders? Have you tried to learn a new language? What was your experience like? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Pam, Alex, thank you so much for being with us today.
Our pleasure.
Yes, thank you.
Alex, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about your business.
Of course. So we are a language school that provides immersion experience. So we try to help adults mainly that are interested in learning the language for various reasons. And we help them navigate the process. Sometimes we advise them to travel abroad for a more in-depth cultural experience. And that's what we do. We help them with their planning their agenda abroad, choosing the city. We have an actual school in Spain, so many of our students decide to move abroad for some time and take a deep dive, immerse themselves, learn the culture. And ultimately, that's how we go about teaching Spanish. We try people to immerse themselves. That's our approach.
And what inspired you to start that business?
Yes. So back in 2009, I was born in Spain, and my wife is from Canada. And back in 2009, we met on a travel, and she had difficulty speaking Spanish. So we figured after seeing some schools and not being very happy with the process, we said to each other, why don't we, since we love travel and tourism, it was a very natural process. We said to ourselves, why don't we start a school where we can meet a lot of great people and hopefully doing something that we like. And that's in a nutshell how it started.
Is she a French speaker or English speaker Canadian?
Yes, she's an English speaking
Canadian. Okay, so that makes it a little easier for her too.
Oh, for sure.
what is the benefit of knowing another language?
Wow. Well, that's an interesting question. It really depends from what approach we look at it. I mean, many of our students are actually, people that either are living in Milwaukee and thinking, you know, I just want to move to a place with more sun, and I'm a nomad, and I want to work from that place. And they discover that if they do learn the language, they have much more opportunities, not just from a professional stand, but also from a personal, because as you travel abroad to a place like Spain, and if you can learn the language, even if it's at a intermediate level, these people discover that they get to make friends, they get to explore and experience the whole being abroad in a much more profound way. So I guess, you know, from a personal point of view, learning the language enables you to meet more people and to explore. And also, I guess, from this is my personal experience from speaking Spanish and English and other languages, it really keeps your brain alive, if you know what I mean. When you are learning a new language, you will discover that you start thinking in multiple language. You start your whole, and I'm not an expert in this matter, but from a neurological point of view, you really see an improvement in memory and a change in the way we think. So I guess, as I said, there are different angles to why learn a new language. All of them very exciting.
Certainly. Now, Pam, you've been shaking your head about this, and you're definitely coming from the more scientific end of it. What can you contribute to that?
Well, I think Alejandro is totally correct. And we know that as we learn language, when we're first exposed to language, every human in the world is born with the ability to distinguish between every speech sound.
Oh, and I think we're...
About 6 months of age, we lose that ability. And that sounds like a bad thing. And there are parts of it. That's why if you're a non-native speaker, you will always sound a little bit different than a native speaker. They lose that ability at about 6 months is we're only hearing our language that we're being raised in, and our brain is pruning itself to optimize to learn that language. This is why it's much harder for an adult to learn a sentence, because our brain is...
You're cutting out just a little bit there, Pam. I'm not quite sure why.
Yes, is this better?
Yeah, let's keep trying that and see.
Okay, sorry about that. So the fact that our brain is...
Okay, we lost her.
But it's not gone completely. Children, their brains are more flexible and adaptable, so they can...
Okay, Pam, we've lost you a number of times, so let's try to connect with you for on the phone. And Alex, let's go to you to talk a little bit about some of the strategies for an adult to learn a new language when they're out of that critical period like Pam was talking about.
Certainly.
Yeah, what are some of the ways to do that? We talked a little bit about immersion, but what else can we do?
So, well, there's, look, first of all, I want to clarify something a lot of people wonder. Is there a limit? And no, there's no limit of age, meaning we have students that are either just finishing high school or just finishing university or in their 80s. And so I think when it comes to learning a new language, it's surprising how... one would think, you know, I am too old. I probably not going to be able to do this, but that's not true. We've seen it across the board. People of all ages can get to learn a language. And when you've mentioned about the approach or the technique, I do have something very important that I want to share with your audience. I notice a lot of people are going to these new apps, many of which uses AI. And the truth of the matter is, and this is such a great platform for me to share this important message. AI, it's good at some extent, but what we've seen across the board is when you learn with a human being, with a teacher that has emotions and experiences and knows different cultures, you truly learn because you have a person who with whom you can share experiences and talk about different cities and different things. And so in the end, you connect at a human level. And that connection, you could be better at grammar or worse, but in the end, after a few weeks, a month, if you're a more serious learner, maybe even, you know, 3, 4, 5 months, but what we've seen is no matter the difficulties in the student, their difficulties, whether they're to study or to do grammar, no matter the difficulties, when you learn with a human being, at the end of an X amount of time, you will learn. Either you will become more fluent or whether you will become better at grammar. It's true, some people have more difficulties with one or the other. But when you learn with a person, guarantee if you put the time, you're patient, and you give yourself the opportunity, because some people will terminate too soon or too fast, you will learn a new language.
Okay. Pam, I think we have you back on the phone.
Yes.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for being flexible about that. We did kind of miss a little bit about what you were saying. So if you could kind of go over that a little, that would be really nice.
All right. I will be very brief. I was just talking about how what Alejandro was saying about learning language as an adult. As a child, we can perceive every sound in every language up until about 6 months of age. At 6 months, we lose that ability because our brain starts to prune and focus on the sounds of our own language. And this is why a non-native speaker of a language will never sound quite as good as a native speaker, because we lose that ability to distinguish some of the subtleties and the way sounds are produced. But that happens over our lifetime, and so children can learn a second language much, much better than adults can, because their brains are still in that very flexible plastic process.
So we should have give ourselves a little grace if we're older and trying to learn a language. It's not going to come super fast like it does for kids.
Absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Pam, tell us about your job as a speech-language pathologist.
So as a speech-language pathologist, it's a bulky-sounding name, kind of clunky, but we work with a lot of different things. Most people think of speech-language pathologists as working with children who stutter or can't say sounds correctly. And certainly that's part of what we do. But so much more. We focus on language skills. So that's the idea of developing concepts and words and grammar and being able to express things in written language and spoken language. We also work with cognition, so memory, planning, executive functioning, those kinds of skills, as well as with swallowing. And we work from cradle to grave, all ages, all types of developmental or acquired disorders, and from, you know, adults to high schoolers to infants across the board.
So what's the difference between like a speech disorder and a language disorder?
I explain it to my students. That is a great question. I'm glad you asked. So I explain it to my students that speech is a vehicle for language. We have several vehicles for language. Writing would be another output. Speech is output from our mouth. And then sign language is output from our hands. The language part is what happens in your brain. It's, for example, if I say the word dog, you probably pull up a picture of a dog and you think about what makes a dog. It can bark, it has fur, it has four legs, it has a tail, it's man's best friend, whatever. And so language is what we're thinking. It's the concepts and ideas, and then the way we put them together using the rules of whatever language we're speaking. And the rules are things like how we pluralize, what order we put words in, all those kinds of things.
Okay, well, that's definitely helpful, because I guess I've never thought about the difference between that. So if someone is going to see you, can you help them learn a new language?
That's really not quite in our scope of practice. We would refer them more to an ESL, English as a second language, teacher, but we can support them in that. We do work with people sometimes if they want to work on modifying their accent or learning some of the subtleties of language, things like how we do verb tenses differently in English than maybe other languages and things like that. But we consider that dialect is not a disorder. We embrace dialect and that people sound different from different parts of the same country or from a different country. So, the language piece would be more our colleagues in the ESL world that are teachers and educators.
All right. Thank you. We've been talking with Pam Terrell. She is a professor and speech language pathologist at UW Stevens Point. And Alex Cottenot, he is a co-founder and president of Vamoose Academy International. Call 800-642-1234 with your questions or your experiences learning a new language. We'd love to hear from you. Or send us an email, too. That's talk@wpr.org. You're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Just a reminder, if you miss part of our show or you want to hear it again, you can always go to our archives at wpr.org/Larry, and you can hear recordings of our broadcasts that go way back. So it's always kind of fun to poke around in there. But right now we're talking about language, learning a new language, and we're going to get back to Alex here. What do you tell a person that comes to you? How do you how do you know what the best way to teach that language to that particular person is?
Well, I guess the first step is to understand why they want to learn the language. I think it's a very important question. Why do they want to learn Spanish? What are their goals and their objectives? Excuse me. Ultimately, after we've learned about that, well, there's a team of people, the academic directors and the teachers who would get involved, and we will all try to participate into finding and creating a plan for that particular person. Some people are more comfortable learning in a group. Some people are more comfortable learning privately with their own teacher. So I guess it's understanding their needs, doing a level test, understanding if they have ever learned Spanish in the past, or if they haven't. If they haven't, they will be an absolute beginner, and we will try to create these, let's call it, the balance between grammar and conversation. But as I said before, it's exciting when people get the chance to travel abroad and try to immerse themselves. That's the most effective way.
Okay. Pam, have you ever experienced learning a second language?
I have experienced it. I have not been successful in doing so yet. But yes, I took French in high school, and then I have studied Spanish as well. I know enough to be dangerous, and I can understand more than I can speak. I'm certainly not fluent.
Have you found that to be the case with a lot of people, Alex, that they can understand better than they can speak it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. A lot of people, I guess nowadays, thanks to internet and Netflix, a lot of people are, they've learned. They either have a friend or they watch TV in Spanish. But ultimately, it's a lot of people, it's funny. A lot of people think they know. But when it comes to start and having a conversation, they realize they still have a lot to learn. But it's great. No matter their situation and or their level, I personally think learning a new language should be a fun thing to do. Shouldn't be something complex or painful. It should be fun, and it should be relaxed, and it should be done following and respecting the rhythm of each individual, because that's the best way.
Sure, that makes sense. Pam, you might have covered this earlier when we were having the technical problems, but how does a child learn, you know, speech and language? And are there like milestones that they reach in that development?
Yes, and they will learn, just like Alejandro was saying, they're going to start with understanding more than they speak as well. That's how we all learn. That whole first year of life, they're soaking in language, because the first word doesn't typically emerge until around 1 year of age is the average for that. And then around 18 months to 2 years, we expect them to start putting two words together. And then beyond that, at that two-year stage, that's when we have a language explosion. They're learning several new words a week, and then they're starting to learn some of the finessing of language, like how to pluralize words or mark verb tenses and things like that. And then through the rest of our lives, we never stop learning language. We have a finite set of speech sounds, and we learn those and perfect those. But we're constantly using more complicated grammar. We're, especially if we're reading and taking advantage of, you know, lifelong learning, we're constantly learning new vocabulary. There are constantly new words being invented. We have to keep up with how language is dynamic, and it's always changing. So we do have certain milestones, and that's what we use to determine when a child would need intervention, is if one of the reasons would be that they're not meeting those milestones.
Okay. Now, Alex, how did you learn English? Was that in school, or did you learn that later on?
No, that was in school. That's a great question, because as a matter of fact, what we've learned at school is very limited. In really, my experience is in many Spanish-speaking countries, the high school education for languages only goes so far. So when I met my wife, he, at the time, didn't speak any Spanish, and my English was not very good. So I decided, it was a very interesting yet fun experience, because we both wanted to communicate very into a complex state of communication, and we were unable. So we both took a deep dive into learning each other's language. We, I think, successfully achieved it. We loved it so much that we decided to start teaching ourselves. Well, not ourselves directly, because we're not personally qualified, but we started the school, which grew a lot in Spain, in Argentina, in Milwaukee, and other cities too.
So you have pupils, students in Argentina and Spain that are learning English.
Both English and
Spanish. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
That's right.
Yeah. So do you get to travel between the countries a
lot? Quite a lot.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I just came back from Malaga in Spain, which, by the way, whoever has the opportunity to travel to Spain, highly recommended city, 300 days of sun, beautiful place.
You know, I just read an article on it, and I've heard that it's one of the hidden gems of Spain. So, that's great. So how can you, as a parent or a grandparent, help your children learn another language? I don't know if that's in your wheelhouse, Pam, but either one of you want to answer, go right ahead.
Yes, learn another language beyond the...
Or just learn language in general.
Well, for learning language in general, the way we learn language developmentally is by, having people speak to us initially, and then that back and forth of response. So when young children start to develop language, they're going to use a lot of syllables. And so they'll babble, they'll do da, 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 and that has no meaning. They're just playing with their mouths, and it has no meaning, but we go, oh, you said da, da, and they're like, well, wait, when I did that thing, this person's face got real smiley, and they seemed excited, so I'm going to do that again. And over time, we shape that. And it actually becomes meaningful that that's dada, and we point when they're doing that, and we make those connections. So talking and then responding to the child as well. And then even as we think about second language learning, it's the same way. And we, in fact, when we have clients who are bilingual, we encourage the parents to speak the heritage language in the home. We do not want to lose that language. And usually the parents are going to be more confident in their first language and can convey things that they may not be able to convey in English. And so we really want to hold on and nurture those heritage languages. A lot of times families think that they need to give up that language or speak English in the home, and we would discourage that.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Alex?
Well, that's a great question. Actually, Pamela, maybe her explanation is much more complex and forensics than what I'm going to say next, but I do have a young toddler. She's 4 years old, and, my wife and myself wanted to make sure that she would be fluent in both languages. And so what we have decided is that we were going to choose days and times in which we would only speak Spanish or we would only speak English. And we have been doing that since she was very young. And fortunately, doing that and exposing her to different cultures, and I don't know how scientific this is, but it has worked very well, because now she's able to both at 4 years old, she can speak English, she can speak Spanish, and she can, she's basic level, but she can write her in both languages. And we have achieved this by, as Pamela said it, as I primarily focus in speaking Spanish to her, and my wife, her name is Ingrid, focus in speaking English. And then we had this agenda in which days it's only English or only Spanish. It seems to have worked.
So has your child corrected you in your English and your wife in her Spanish yet?
you know what? It, I notice it's getting there. She's four, and I think she's getting into that point. And I have to say, you know, I like it because she's a very strong individual, and I love to see her growing and learning. But I think it's so interesting from the neurological point of view, the fact that these individuals are being born bilingual. They have more tools to communicate and to express themselves, and that is fascinating. I don't know the science of it, but it's definitely fascinating.
So, Pam, is Alejandro and his wife doing a good thing, the way they've been teaching their child?
Absolutely. That is the ways we recommend are exactly what they're doing, either picking times of day or certain activities. Like at dinner, we speak in this language. When we're on the playground, we speak in this language. Or having one parent speak their native language and the other parent speak their native language. So that's absolutely the way children learn. And an interesting thing about as they're learning language, it kind of all levels off at around five with both languages is where it really kind of clicks. But for example, we expect an 18-month-old to have about a 50-word expressive vocabulary. And sometimes the parents will be concerned because they'll think they're language delayed if they're learning two languages, because they'll say they only have 12 Spanish words, but they have 40 words in English. Well, if you add those together, that's over 50 words, so they're right on track. What they will often do is they will use the word that is easier to pronounce. So they will switch back and forth between the two languages in one, you know, sentence. You may have half Spanish words, half English words, because they're smart and they're figuring out the patterns and they're even putting words in the correct slots. I had a friend who's a Spanish teacher and she was raising her daughter's bilingual, and I remember her toddlers asking for like more agua. And so they were, you know, combining English and Spanish together and in the right English order to do that. And so that's exactly, you know, how children do learn two languages.
So what happens then when these kids go to school?
They are usually pretty fluent in both languages.
Okay.
and probably ahead of most of us. I really wish that I had been raised bilingual, because again, as I said earlier, it's much easier to learn two languages as a child than as an adult.
Well, if anybody has any comments or questions about learning a second language, we'd love to hear from you. Phones have been a little quiet here today. 920-285-1986. That's 800. I forgot the telephone number. Thanks, 642-1234. So anyway, if you've got any comments about that, please give us a call. Actually, you mentioned, Alex, about Netflix. Is it reasonable to watch a movie with subtitles to pick up a language?
You know what? There's so many studies, and they all show that it works. So it's a natural process. You cannot force it. But if, again, adult children, it doesn't matter. If you could be patient, because it's frustrating not understanding at first. And so one, I think patience is crucial, and be open-minded. Mm-hmm. And so let's say you have your favorite show, whichever is at your favorite show. If you could give yourself the opportunity to listen to your show in Spanish with English subtitles, if you prefer, or even in English, but with Spanish subtitles, in any case, after some time, what we've seen is that those people will pick up at a subconscious level sometime, but they will pick up many aspects of the language, which at first may be unknown to the person, but eventually will become more evident that it does help, that it helps with the learning process. It helps to pick up on words. It helps a lot. And maybe I'm not the most qualified person to explain the neurological part of it, or the technical and how the mind works. But if you could give the opportunity to yourself and try, I promise the audience it works. Give it a try.
Pam, have you had any experience with that?
Yes. And I think, again, that's absolutely right, that just the exposure, because that's how we learn language anyway. So seeing it and or hearing it again and again, language is pattern based. And that's what our brain does. As children are learning, whether it's their language or a second language, to learn language in general, our brain is constantly running statistics. And we start to have predictions about which sounds go together in words, word order, and different things that we do to words that we speak. So the more you're exposed to it, your brain is going to start. We love to find patterns in things, and our brain is going to start, without us even thinking about it, to recognize those patterns that are happening, whether they're in the subtitles of how things are written or whether it's spoken language.
Okay, thank you. We've got Jonah from Little Chute on the line with a comment. Go ahead, Jonah.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on your show.
Sure.
So I can only speak English fluently, but a couple of years ago, I wanted to learn French because my grandma on my mom's side emigrated from France to the United States as an adult. So I had a bilingual person in my life, but really that was it. There's no other, like, French is not the most useful language where I live. But I tried learning it anyway, since I have a personal connection. And I had a really hard time because it was a Latin alphabet, you know, letters that were mostly shared with the English language. And I was just having a hard time and, like, getting them confused. So instead, I was like, what if I picked a language that has an entirely different alphabet so that I'm not getting the two confused? So I chose to learn Arabic a couple years ago, and I'm still very rough. But that actually really helped, starting fresh, a different alphabet. So if any English-only speakers are having a hard time, just try an entirely different non-Latin language. You might find that that works for you.
Well, thank you, Jonah. Pam, do you have any comments on that?
It kind of blows my mind, actually, because when I learn a second language, having some exposure to primarily French and Spanish, a little bit to Portuguese, I very much rely on the alphabet to help me produce sounds. I think it would be more difficult to learn a language like Arabic has a Cyrillic alphabet, or languages like a lot of Asian languages that are more pictograph based. That sounds much more difficult, but you know, if it worked for him, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great that for those people who do have a problem, maybe everybody's brain works a little differently, right?
Yes, for sure.
Alex, have you ever tried to learn a language like, you know, Japanese or Russian or Arabic?
Well, Pamela says something very interesting, and I'm going to quote her. It blows my mind, too, because sincerely, I have looked into it. I've always wanted to learn a third language for many reasons. It's just exciting, and it really helps with your neuroplasticity. But when I've started looking into Chinese, for an example, that is more cryptographic, it's more figures, really, I gave up. It was so tough. I traveled. I went to Hong Kong. I tried, and sincerely, it's very difficult. So this gentleman, wow, he's at a different level.
All right. Way to go, Jonah. Jen in Madison, go right ahead.
Hi, thanks. I have a question about my grandson. He is attending a French immersion daycare. His parents both speak English as their native language, but my daughter also speaks Spanish fluently. And I'm wondering how they can put all that together somehow and get him so that he's speaking all three. They don't speak any French, but he's getting that every day. So I'm just curious if there's a way to somehow end up when he's five, but he can also speak French and Spanish and English.
Well, now's the time to do it, right, Pam?
Right. Yeah. I used to live in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and there was a multilingual preschool there. And I remember giving an articulation evaluation to a five-year-old who was exposed to three different languages in her school immersion program throughout the day. And I will never forget, I'm flipping the easel with little pictures for her to say the words, and she kept switching between all three languages the whole time. So again, I think that the children will kind of default. For example, if you have a word like shoes, I'm trying to pick a few things that I know in Spanish. So zapatos in Spanish, correct me if I'm wrong, Alejandro. But that's multisyllabic versus shoes in English, which is one syllable. So the child, if they know both languages, would probably go to the easier one to say. It will be interesting. I suspect your grandchild's vocabulary, that there will be words known more related to the daycare environment that she learns in French, and words that are more home-based words like furniture and things like that, that she'll probably know in English. And I think it'll just be interesting to see, and then, you know, with some Spanish thrown in there as well, to see how her brain sorts it out. The trick will be if she continues being exposed to French past that daycare age, because if she's not speaking it regularly, she will start to lose that ability. It's going to have to be continually spoken and maintained. But yes, our brains are capable of learning multiple languages at the same time.
Okay. Well, good luck to your grandson, Jen. Thank you for the call. Susan emailed us. She said that she learned French in high school. Probably 30 years later, she took conversational Spanish. And a few years following, she boned up on French for a trip to Brittany. She found in the process that when learning Spanish, French words intruded on her. And then when reviewing French later, the Spanish words intruded. She said it's a really interesting business. Alex, have you had that happen with you?
I've seen it. I've seen it in people. Yes, it's how the brain works. And there's personally, I think it's all about how often you're practicing the language. So if she's sporadically traveling to France or to a Spanish-speaking country, and she hasn't gotten much practice, that is the effect. You're going to start mixing the different words from the missing languages. There's one thing that really helps, and I wish I could have given that advice to other people before, but I'm Mr. Immersion. So if you could travel, if you have the opportunity, and do it, and do it often. So every time you go to either it's Paris or Quebec or Argentina or Spain, it's an investment.
Okay. We are talking about language today, learning a second one at any age. Pam Terrell is a professor and speech-language pathologist at UW-Stevens Point. And our other guest is Alex Cotenot. He is co-founder and president of Moose Academy International. We'd love to hear from you about your experiences learning a language. Our number, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk about what you can find in the dark in nature. We're going to be talking to the author of the book Night Magic. And we'll also talk about jumping worms. That's starting at 11 tomorrow right here. But right now we're talking about language. And we have an email from Tom in Fox Point. He's taking a Spanish class with a local recreation program weekly. And he also uses Babbel and Duolingo. Is there any particular way that he should use them to enhance what he learned in the classroom? Alex, you have students that are using those apps as well as taking courses from you.
Certainly. Many of them are using those apps. And as I said in the beginning of the show, I personally think those apps can be very useful up to some extent. I think that for those who are taking the first steps into the language, it's a great tool. But ultimately, nothing can replace an actual teacher, a human being, and the human connection. No matter how much AI or how much technology is used, I personally think after 15 years of being in this industry, learning with a teacher, it's mostly the best way to go. And if I may, some people may think that it's actually very expensive. truth of the matter is, it's not. There are many schools, whether ours or any others, where there are very affordable and accessible tuition fees. Doesn't have to be expensive.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Pam, have you worked with things like apps in your line of work?
Yes, and I'm glad you asked that question because I was wanting to chime in about apps with young children as well. There are many, many apps geared towards children learning language or early concepts like colors and numbers and letters and things like that. And again, children always learn better through human interaction. Another thing to consider about those apps is many of the educational apps that are designed for children, if you go into the about or the creators, you learn that they are computer experts who learn how to create apps that children want to continue to play, and they are not learning and developmental and speech language development types of people. So they're often created by people whose background is more in computer science than in the ways that young children learn. Not all apps are bad, but generally we use them sparingly and cautiously in most speech language therapy, except for with people who are unable to speak, and that is called augmentative and alternative communication, or AAC for short. There are dedicated devices for that, but there are some helpful apps that help people communicate with an iPad, for example, if they cannot speak. Okay. So that would be an exception.
Great. Thank you. Christina in Reedstown has a comment. Go right ahead, Christina.
Hi. I grew up, my mother was Norwegian, and we spoke Norwegian at home, and she always spoke Norwegian at home, and we traveled to Norway quite often in the summer. I'm 56. My children, I spoke Norwegian to them, but they have an American father, which I did as well. But the thing is that I always made them, when they were little, listen to Norwegian books on tape, watch Norwegian. Yeah, I had videos and stuff. And even though, like, in their teenage years, they didn't want to do it and stuff, now when they're in their 20s, they definitely speak really well. And I think it was that early exposure, just hearing the sounds, all the music and stuff like that. I think that's really beneficial.
Okay. Alex, you are agreeing?
Well, absolutely. Actually, I think that's the way. That's the way. And as I said before, that early exposure, it's crucial. My daughter, she's 4 years old, and I was very diligent with my wife to make sure we both would speak Spanish and English and make sure that she has as much exposure as possible, whether it is by videos or communicating in the language or traveling abroad to Norway. Either way, this is the way. I personally think that's how he's going to be more successful and effective.
Pam, is music a good tool for learning another language that, you know, that you've heard of?
Yes, music is great for helping learn language just in general. If you think of a lot of children's songs like Wheels on the Bus, for example, it's very repetitive. They have hand motions, so if you don't have the language yet, you can do the hand motions until the language develops. And we tend to process and remember music and melody in a different kind of way. So that's what we can think of, tunes of songs, maybe not always the words that go with them, but that music can be a really rich way. And I would suspect that the caller's adult children have very fond memories of those songs. And it also embeds, because music is different from culture to culture, so you get some of those music elements from the culture. And then even with the videos and the stories, there are different, you know, folk tales and fables that are culturally significant as well. So I think that's just wonderful.
Great. Thank you, Christina. Elizabeth in Platteville, go ahead.
I was taking a German class because I wanted to learn to speak it. I had to learn to read it for scientific purposes. But there was a man in the class who was in his 70s, and he was going back to Germany to visit his relatives. He wanted to be able to talk to them, and he had forgotten his German. He spoke German till he was 5 years old, but he had lost it because he quit speaking it. We were about halfway through the semester, and all of a sudden, it came back to him, and he got very excited, and so did the teacher, and they were talking to each other in German with their eyes shining, and everybody in the class was looking at them in wonder. So it was exciting to me, too, that his vocabulary of the five-year-old came back.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that, Elizabeth. Pam, what's going on in the brain when that happens?
Well, I wish I knew. The brain is very complex and fascinating, and there's so much we don't understand about it. But I will say that the language generally is not lost. It's in there. It just kind of, you know, it's like an old attic with some dusty cobwebs, and it's not being used. So I would suspect over time hearing the rhythm and intonation of German, being exposed to those words, that it kind of clicked. And we also know that, you know, people on the other end of things, they might have something like a stroke and be able to speak a second language that they've never spoken before. How does that happen? We don't know. And that's very rare, but it's not unheard of. So the brain is very complex, but I love that. And I totally can understand that, yes, what he was exposed to just with the right priming, that he was able to remember that.
That's great. Thank you again, Elizabeth. John in Manitowoc, why don't you go ahead?
Hi. I have a couple comments. My experience with language learning is both personal and professional. My personal experience was I studied Russian in high school for 4 years, and found it very, very difficult to learn the language. I subsequently took a course in college, and it ultimately gave up and just said, I can't learn this way. It's not working for me. Then I joined the Peace Corps a few years later, and they taught language in a completely different way. They taught key phrases, key grammar, by using it as opposed to explaining the grammar. And they had us live in an immersion setting. And for 10 weeks, we were immersed and bombarded with language, at the end of which we were supposed to have enough language skills to be able to essentially survive in a non-English speaking environment. And it worked for me.
Just like you were saying, Alex, right?
Well, that's right. This is what we have seen consistently. As we immerse ourselves into the language, I think there's a key here, and it's the need. When I mentioned before, when we ask the students, what are their goals or objectives to learn the language? In this case, he had to learn the language. He was immersed. He was in an atmosphere where the need of understanding what was being said was of utmost importance. And so the brain works in very interesting ways. When you have the need, it will happen. It will come to you.
And maybe if you put that GPS into Russian, John, we'll see if you know where to go, if it'll all come back. Well, I want to thank you both for being with us. It's been very enlightening, and you've given me and encouraged me to keep learning my French, which isn't going really well, but I appreciate that so much. So thank you both. We've been speaking with Pam Terrell. She's a professor and speech language pathologist. Why can't I say that? At UW Stevens Point. And Alex Cantonade, he is a co-founder and president of Vamus Academy International. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about night magic. Thanks.